Hi, and welcome to the Church Unlimited podcast. Church Unlimited is a vibrant, Bible-based church in North Lakes, Queensland that is passionate about helping people discover the genuine love of Jesus. If you're currently looking for a home church, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship. For more information about our Sunday service or to find out how we can best help you, head to our website at churchunlimited.com.au. We hope you enjoy this message from Sunday service.
Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, the 19th of May. And it's the day that we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells us that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And my default setting is not always to worship in spirit, because I'm born again of the Spirit, but my default setting is flesh. And it's so important that we keep reminding ourselves and stirring ourselves that I am no longer the flesh man, the natural man, the normal man, but I am now born again of the Spirit. That Jesus Christ died on the cross so that I could be born again of the Spirit and I could know him, not just mentally, but I could know him through the Spirit. And so I want to challenge you. We are not a ritualistic church. I think we have to fight rituals and run sheets and our natural paradigms, because we like to box God in, but the thing about God is he can't be boxed in. We like God our way, but God is not our way. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so it's so important that we don't get too rigid and too confined in our faith, but we keep being open to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And from the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1, we understand that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God spoke and said, let there be life. Light, excuse me. And then he created life after that. I know that God's Spirit is on earth and he speaks. And it's important that you and I learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I think we are so familiar with so many voices. We're familiar with our own voice. How often do we call praying, oh yeah, I pray all the time? No, you don't. We think. We run around in our own little brains thinking, but we're not actually praying. Listening to the voice of God, we don't do a lot of that. We like to listen to the voice of anybody who will help us problem solve and scurry around to get all the opinions of everybody else. The voice of society and pop culture speaks to us about how we're to behave and live so much louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's critical that we learn how to incline our ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of Abraham in Genesis 12 when God says to him, he doesn't think it. God says to him, leave your mother and father and go to a land that I will show you. He wasn't in a church meeting and a preacher preached it. He was with God by himself and hears the voice of the Spirit. And I'm sure that that would have been an awkward conversation when he has to go back to Sarah and say, Sarah, I'm hearing voices. I'm hearing voices, and they're telling me that we need to leave here to go there. Okay, where is there? I don't know. He said he would show me along the way. That sounds a little crazy. I'm thinking about Moses. When Moses is minding his own business, tending a flock, and he sees a burning bush, and it captures his attention to the point that he needs to go and see this burning bush. And then the burning bush starts speaking. That's crazy. Imagine going to the lunchroom in your workplace and telling people that you hear voices. God said to me the other day, people don't know how to digest that. Why? Because people don't have a paradigm for spirit. until we are born again of spirit. Things don't make sense to our natural man until we're born again of the spirit. Then we now have a new pathway through Jesus Christ to understand the things of the spirit. This is why the word of God tells us that we need to be crucified to our flesh. We need to be born again of the Spirit. We need to train our spirits in how to engage with the Holy Spirit. And so this is why I kind of gave us a bit of a shakeup during worship. Because sometimes we can just get caught in the natural things, the normal things. What's the next thing on the run sheet? What's the next song that we're going to sing? What's the next? All right, Dan and Joe are going to welcome us. Dan's going to give an offering message. Joe's going to talk about Strong Family Summit again. Of course, we're going to honor two moms. That's what we always do. And of course, we're going to have a video that was supposed to work. And James is going to get up there and he's going to do a talk again. Don't worry, there's going to be an altar call and time for prayer, just like always. But what happens is we've trained ourselves to be caught up in the things that are natural and normal and predictable. And I just sense that God is not like that. We got to learn how to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Remember when Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is in the wilderness and he's in a dry and weary place, and who starts speaking to him? It's not God. It's the devil. And I'm here to tell you, when you are in a dry and weary, wildernessy season, you often hear the voice of the devil louder than you hear the voice of God. But Jesus responds in Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, it is written. Wow, I think that kid was... Are we doing deliverance in children's church today? Or I don't know what's happening. Maybe that's repentance. He probably spoke poorly to his mother this morning and tore his robes in the presence of the Spirit. But we don't live by bread alone. What's it saying? We don't live by the natural things. We don't live by the common, ordinary things. We think we live by the sustenance of food. We live by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that speaks over us and calls us to life. In John 10:27, Jesus says these famous words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep. My sheep. Are you his sheep? Would you say, "I am a sheep of him, my shepherd"? Is that your confession? Do you belong in the sheepfold of Jesus Christ, or do you belong to yourself? If you belong to yourself, I'm praying for you. Because that is an extremely precarious and vulnerable place to be. Some people say to me, trying to insult me, "Oh, James, Christianity, it's just a religion for the weak." And I say, "Bro, you have no idea. I am not strong enough to do this life on my own. I desperately need my shepherd. I need a shepherd who knows me." So I am his sheep. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Do you hear the voice of God? Would you know the voice of God if he spoke to you? When was the last time you heard the voice of God? 1987? I sure hope not. Is God speaking to you? "Oh, well, you know, in the Old Testament, there was times where the Lord didn't speak." Fine for the Old Testament. But Jesus came to break down all that old law. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. You and I are carriers of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is always speaking. I kind of liken it to this, to the radio. Do you remember the old radios with the dials and you had to adjust things? Like it was like a thing, you couldn't just push a button. Some of you don't remember this because you didn't experience this. But the thing about the radio is that the radio right now, even though we're in this room, is broadcasting. Is that 95? What's the radio station here? I don't. 96.5 is broadcasting right now as we speak. We can't hear it. Why? We don't even have a radio. Maybe we have a radio, but the radio's not on. Maybe the radio's not been dialed in to the right station. Maybe we've done all that. Have you ever, like, I've done this in my car. I'm like, it's all set up right. What's going on? And I realize I haven't turned the volume up. God is always speaking. He's always broadcasting. And you and I have a spirit. We have a receiver that is designed to receive his voice. And so many of us don't even bother to turn the thing on. Or maybe we haven't taken time to dial into the right station. Or maybe we have left the volume down. I don't really, it's on, but it's just in the background. It's like just a bit of a filler in the background. And he says, and then he says, and I know them. Notice that language. And I know them. So many people say to me, oh, James, I believe in God. Can I tell you, I think believing in God is redundant. We say, I believe in God, like it's some noble thing. We aren't going to be asked if we believe in God. Peter's not going to open the gates and go, all right, Colin, do you believe in God? That's not how it works. We aren't going to be asked if we believe in God. We're not even going to be asked if we know him. He's going to be asked, does he know us? Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's my confession. What I'm saying. The Lord's saying that I don't get into heaven on my confession. But he who does the will of the Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do you know the words that matter are not even our words? The words that matter are his words. I knew you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Do you hear the voice of God? Is your faith so inclined to the Spirit that you're listening to the voice of God and he knows you? He knows that you're listening. And then it says, and I know them and they follow me. Oh, that's a whole nother thing. Sometimes I say things to my kids and I'm pretty sure it went in. But it's evidenced in the behavior or the doing, the action that is the result of hearing the voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Man, there's so many voices. There's my own voices. I find that the voices in my own head are some of the most distracting. Maybe it's our spouse's voices. Maybe it's the voice of your parents. I'll never forget when I came to Australia, my parents were pumped about me coming to Australia for 6 months. They thought that was a great idea. Once it had been 2 years, I got a phone call from my dad and said, all right, Peter Pan, it's time to come home. I said, Dad, I sense God is speaking to me that I need to stay here in Australia. And he goes, no, you're not hearing God. And I was like, deciding moment now, I'm 22 years old. Which voice is going to be louder to me? The voice of my dad or the voice of what I sense the Holy Spirit is saying to me? Maybe it's your friends' voices. You're going through a crisis. You're not listening for God's voice. You're calling 15 people to get their opinions on things. You're in a financial hardship. Oh, you're calling the bank. You're calling the broker. You're calling 15 other voices to try to work it out in the natural, but you're not inclining your ear to the voice of the Spirit. Maybe you're familiar with the devil's voice. I'm starting to learn. I've been a Christian now for 24 years. I'm now starting to learn, no, that's the voice of the devil. That's what the devil sounds like. It's not even my own voice. It's the devil's voice. We've got to understand and know God's voice. So how do we do this? Well, the first way we do this is we need to get ourselves in the right position. Before we can hear God's voice, we have to position ourselves to hear His voice. Men, we really struggle with this. We love to be busy. We're scurrying around doing stuff all the time. Whenever our family decides that we're going to go for a swim in the swimming pool, 5 people are in the pool, and I'm cleaning up palm fronds around the pool because I can't rest with an untidy garden. We struggle to quiet ourselves and just position ourselves in the moment. We're so busy. We're doing things all the time. When I ask people to describe their time alone with God, they say things to me like, well, you know, I pray in the shower, or I worship on the way to work. I listen to a podcast when I'm at the gym. I go, great. Those things are all super important. But when was the last time you turned off all those things and the busyness of your life and you left your mobile phone in another room and just quieted yourself in a posture to receive? It's so critical. We do our devotion life, and I think devotion life is so important. Please don't stop reading your Bibles. And we do our worship time, and we do these things, and we like our things. We like to do things. You know what? It reminds me a lot of Martha and Mary. Jesus shows up at their house, and these two sisters, Martha and Mary, and Martha was so busy doing lots of things for Jesus. Because, you know, that's how I express my love to the Lord. I'm a bit more of a doing person. I'm not lazy like my sister Mary. And Jesus says to Martha, no, mate. Mary's doing the right thing. She's sitting at my feet listening to my voice. I notice it as a pastor of our church, people in our church who really struggle to sit still and even listen to the preaching of the word. They've got to be doing stuff. I got to make coffees, and I got to make sure that I'm working the cameras, and I got to make sure that we're passing the offering buckets, and I'm vacuuming as often as I possibly can. And I think Jesus is so grateful for our service because it is how we worship the Lord. But He also reminds us to stop and position ourselves with Him to hear His voice that cuts through all the calamity. I want to encourage you. Discipline yourself to set aside some time, not while you're driving, not while you're in the shower, not while you're running from A to B, but time that is His time, that you could say, here I am, Lord. I'm reminded of Samuel and Eli in the book of Samuel. Samuel was a little boy, and he was trying to sleep at nighttime, and he kept hearing a voice say, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel's thought first was, that's the voice of Eli. I'm going to go and see what Eli wants. And Eli says, no, mate, that wasn't me. So Samuel goes back to bed. Sounds like my kid's needing a drink of water at nighttime. Daddy, daddy, I'm thirsty. No, get back in bed. He hears it again, Samuel, Samuel, and he goes back to Eli. This is what we do. Our default setting is to often think that it's a natural voice. And Eli says, mate, I perceive that God might be trying to speak to you. The next time you hear it, say to the Lord, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And so this little boy goes back and gets into bed, and he hears the voice again, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel responds, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." He was in the right position to hear it. I want to encourage us as a church, if I am the oracle of the Lord for you, God help you. No, I'm not joking. We laugh. No, there should be amens on the back of that. If I am the voice of God for you, oh, you are in so much trouble. What happened to us that we stopped listening to the voice of the Spirit and we started attending more meetings? Please don't stop attending the meetings. We need to encourage each other corporately. But my relationship with God supersedes my relationship with you. And if my relationship with God is not healthy and whole, then this is just a ritualistic tick of the box. God wants to speak to you, and you need to position yourself to do so. Number two, you need to have the right posture. This is your attitude. Far too often we approach God from our own paradigm, our own fear, our own worry, our own angst and frustration. Maybe we come to God angry. God, they did this to me. It's really, really hard to hear the voice of God when you're mucking it all up with what you're bringing to the party. God's voice is often described as still, small voice. With Elijah, God wasn't speaking in the fire. He wasn't speaking in the earthquake. You know, we're like, God, I need a sign. Let there be a sign, God, an unmissable sign. We're looking for the fire and the earthquake and the mighty rushing wind. But the verse says, and God spoke in a still, small voice. Can you posture yourself in a position that says, I'm quieting all the calamity around me. I'm quieting my anxiety. I'm quieting my angst. I'm quieting my frustration. I'm quieting the children. I'm quieting my husband or my wife. I'm quieting the pressure at work. I'm quieting the red icons on my phone that are screaming at me. To be in a posture that says, Lord, I want to hear your voice cut through everything else. This is why Psalm 46:10 says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. We need to posture ourselves in a posture of stillness. I need to come to the Lord and shut up. God doesn't say shut up. But sometimes I think the Lord's sitting there going, mate, when are you going to be done? I've got peace, I've got joy, I've got freedom, I've got direction, I've got wisdom, I've got clarity, but you're just running your mouth. Shh, shh, I want to speak to you. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I'm convinced that if we have the right attitude or the right posture, he will direct our path. What does he say? Trust the Lord with all your heart. What if we came to the Lord with trust or faith? You are who you say you are, and I believe you. What if we didn't come to the Lord all anxious and freaking out? No, you are who you say you are, and I trust the Lord with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding. How many times do I go to the Lord with option A, B, and C? Lord, these are the options that I've worked out. Which one is it going to be, Lord? A, B, or C? And I think the Lord's going, hey, mate, lean not on your own understanding. Would you just surrender your own understanding to the Lord? Just come. Come. Trust me and surrender to me. In all of your ways, acknowledge me. In your behavior, acknowledge the Lord. In your behavior, in your actions, allow your actions to line up with His actions. How would God have me behave? God, I'm so mad. Forgive. God, I've been wronged. Turn the other cheek. God, I'm scared. I got you. I'll supply all of your needs according to my glorious riches. I know where I'm at by the volume, pitch, and tone of my voice. Because the way that I talk is a tell of my heart. And when I come to the Lord, I need to acknowledge Him in all of my ways, and then He directs my path. God, speak to me. God, I need a miracle. God, I need a breakthrough. God, it's going to hell. God doesn't often speak in those moments. I've learned in my own faith to try to quiet myself. Here I am. I trust you. I surrender to you whatever is on my heart. And I just trust you, even though I don't have it all worked out, I trust you. And I'm going to do things your way. I'm not going to take things into my own hands. I'm going to do things your way. And I'm going to trust that you're going to make my path straight. That's the right posture, the right attitude. Then the third thing we need if we're hearing the voice of God is we need prophetic confirmation. I'm a big believer in prophetic confirmation. So many people tell me, oh, God said, and then they just run off and do it. And I go, whoa, that's really dangerous and really unbiblical. Really unbiblical. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13:9, it specifically says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. I always laugh when people say to me, God said, like they're 100% sure. I'm like, gosh, I wish I was 100% sure. I wish I had that confidence. I'm a little bit more, like the longer I've known the Lord, the bit more, I'm a bit more like, I think God is saying. I think, I have a sense, I have a suspicion that God is saying, because I only know in part. And I prophesy in part. God only ever gives me part of it. Why? Because I am in the body and we're to work together. God will often give me part and give Paula the other part. God puts people around me to provide some wisdom and strength. In 1 Corinthians 14, the very next chapter, verse 29, it says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. I'm always a bit funny when someone comes to me and says, Pastor James, I've got a prophetic word for the church. I want to decree it. Give me the microphone. I go, whoa. No. Why don't you write it to me in an email this week? We'll pray it over. We'll judge the word. And if it is the word of the Lord, we'll bring it to the church next weekend. Nope. It's a word for right now. God spoke it to me and I've got the word for right now. Well, let me show you some other churches in the area that might be interested in that type of ministry. But in our church, we receive the word, we judge the word, and in the right timing, we will corporately release what God is saying to the church. And that happens to me all the time. We've got some amazing people in our church that write me incredible prophecies. And I've got a folder in my inbox where I go and read over these prophecies and go, yes, this is what God's saying over our church. Jeff Sparks gave me a word 3 months ago that made no sense. But just this week, we were digging that word up going, yes and amen. We claim that, Lord. That is so important to us. So here's a couple of questions when it's prophetic confirmation. These are some questions I ask myself. The first question is, does it line up with the word of God? If God's telling you to do something or speaking truth to you, it is always going to line up with his word. It's always, God told me I don't have to tithe. What Bible do you read? Oh, I don't really read the Bible. Oh, there you go. God told me that I could practice my faith in my own way. I don't have to be a part of the church to be saved. Oh, did he now? My Bible says he died for the church. I think he loves it. We've got to make sure that what God's saying to us aligns with Scripture. God, can I change my job? Well, that's not in the Bible, so I think that, fine, whatever. Some things are not specific in the Bible, but if it's specific in the Bible, don't even ask the question. You've already got the answer. This word trumps any other word. However, if it's not specifically mentioned in the Bible, God, should I wear the green dress or the red dress to the wedding this weekend? I don't think God or your husband has an opinion. So you need to ask the second question. Does this line up in my heart? God doesn't have an opinion about the green dress or the red dress. Just wear the one that you want to wear. No, neither of them make your butt look big. I think it's okay to ask the question, is this in my heart? I always cringe when people say to me, don't ever tell God you don't want to do anything, because he'll make you do it. You know, like, don't tell God that I'll never go to Antarctica, because God will send you to Antarctica. Like, what God do you believe in? Is God really that sick, that mean, that vindictive, that he's going to intentionally, don't tell God you don't want to marry that person, he'll make you marry him. No, God doesn't do that. That's not how God operates. God is not mean and vindictive. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. That's the right posture. I've delighted myself in the Lord. I have the right attitude. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. I'm a big believer that the desires in my heart are often there because he gave them to me in the first place. So I always ask the question, is this in my heart to do? That is a good question to ask. Here's the third question I ask. What does my pastor say? Now, no, I'm not about to get into some controlling, weird doctrine. But I always ask this. You know that Hebrews chapter 13 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. I am your pastor. But I have pastors. I have three pastors. Pastor Mark Elmendorp, Pastor John Cameron, and Pastor Clinton Montgomery are three pastors over my life that I speak to about decisions or what God might be saying to me, Paula, our family, to our church, and I submit what God is saying to them for wise counsel. I think we've got to be careful that we don't get into some weird control doctrine. Back in the day, you couldn't paint your house a certain color if the pastor didn't say. That's weird. That's wrong. That's not what we're into here. But God has put your pastors, whether it's Pastor Dan, Pastor Joe, Pastor Ray, myself, put pastors in place in this church to provide wise counsel. It is so important that we remember that. Then we ask the question, what do the voices of wisdom in my life say? Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. I am so grateful for our church board. I'm so grateful for Keith Mandasodza, for Alan Gibson, for Sherry Brook, people that God has put in my life to provide wise counsel so that as a church, we can make the right decisions. I'm so grateful for my friends, Lucas Connell and Karen Wallace, who are my brothers. They're not my pastors and they're not my church board, but they're my brothers. And I process things with them and they give me wise counsel. I always get so concerned about people who just run off and make decisions by themselves without ever discussing it with anybody else. You know why you do that? Because you're afraid of being told no. And you don't want to be told no. You want to do what is right in your own eyes. You don't want to submit it to anybody else who might have another idea to what God would be saying. And I say, good luck with that. Not even I want to operate that way. And I've gotten pretty good at hearing the voice of God. But I would be stupid to not get wise counsel. Then the fifth question I ask is there an opportunity? Is there an opportunity? And this question's about timing. Timing. Well, God said yes, and the prophets all confirmed it. Great. Timing is really important. Timing is really important. Is there an opportunity? God told me that I'm going to marry Hayden Snow. Did he now? Sorry to tell you, babe, he's gone. Got married on Wednesday. There is no opportunity. Sorry, Lydia snagged that one. God told me I'm going to be on staff at Church Unlimited. Cool. What's the opportunity? What's the alignment? God told me I'm going to be a pastor. Okay. What's the opportunity? God told me to start a business. Okay. You've hit the first four? Great. Where's the opportunity? The opportunity talks about timing. Now, not every, by the way, opportunity is last. Often we get an opportunity and we go, that's God. Not every opportunity is God. In fact, opportunities are often a distraction. But we do need to submit the word of God, submit for wise counsel for confirmation. And here's the last one. I invite the worship team to come. You know it's God because it has peace. God's voice never creates anxiety. God's voice never creates angst. It might be hard. It might be extremely unreasonable. It might be so left field. But it is always going to come with peace. When the Holy Spirit speaks, He speaks peace. Why? Because the very nature, the fruit of Him is peace. It's always going to come with peace. When God's speaking to you or your family, it's not going to be crazy and anxious and worrisome and fearful. And it's going to be peaceful. Abraham had enough peace to follow the Lord. Moses, being told to deliver Israel from Pharaoh, had enough peace that he could do it. It's so important that we learn to live our lives by the peace. Did you know Jesus is called the Prince of Peace? He's the Prince of Peace. Can I tell you, if you're his sheep, your shepherd is the Prince of Peace. This is why the scriptures teach us in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I love that. That when I'm following the Lord, I don't need to be nervous or anxious. Some people are like, you know, following the Lord, hearing the voice of God's like walking a tightrope. I don't want to fall. I don't live like that. I'm not anxious about falling. I'm not. Not if I'm in the right position, the right posture, trusting the Lord, leaning not on my own understanding, acknowledging He'll make my way straight when I'm in the right posture. And then when I'm submitted to other people for wise counsel, hey, what do you think about this? This is what I think God's saying to me. I submit most things to Marianne, to Jeff Sparks, to some different kids, to Sherry Brooks, some key voices in our church. I'm like, all right, let's pray into these things. What's God saying to us as a church? What's God saying to me as a husband? So I call my friends and I go, hey, this is what I think's going on. What do you think? Can you be praying about this? Let's get the, not just the part of God's voice, let's get the holistic aspect of what God is saying. And then I'm just going to lead with peace. I really hope this word challenges you and inspires you, because God wants to speak to you. Some people come to me and they go, Pastor, has God given you a word for me? I get this quite often. People are like, come on, surely you've got a prophetic word for my life. I don't. I want to make something up. God said, give 20 grand in the advancement offering. That's what God, does that resonate with you? I don't know. Trying to buy the building. I think God wants you to help. I don't know. It's called manipulation. It's a joke. No, I don't want to do that. I don't have God's word for Wendy. Wendy's my sister, and I just pray for her and love her and believe with her. And if she comes to me for wise counsel, I'll give her any part that I might get. But I want to hear the voice of the Spirit. I want our church to hear the voice of the Spirit and be led by the voice of the Spirit. And I'm just convinced that if you're hearing from God and I'm hearing from God, we are going to the promised land. Because we have a shepherd. We shall not want. He's taken us to green pastures. He's taken us to quiet waters. He's leading us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Would you stand to your feet? Come on, would you just open your heart just for a moment? Lift your hands. Father, every person in this room, regardless of how well we know you, wants to hear your voice. God, your voice, it silences every other voice. Your voice speaks peace. Your voice speaks wisdom. Your voice speaks confidence and courage. Your voice speaks healing. Your voice speaks restoration. Your voice. And we live. We live by your word. Lord, we live by your voice, that your voice would call us to life. Help us. Help us, God. Sometimes we get stuck in our old ways. We get wax in our ears. We get cluttered with things that are around us. Right now, I speak over our church the voice of peace right now that silences every anxiety, silences every confusion, every fear, every doubt. You don't need to make the right business decision. You need the voice of God. The voice of God will lead you to a prosperous outcome. Right now, I just speak clarity right now, God. I thank you right now that over our whole church that we're going to hear your voice. God, I pray for humility. Before we can hear your voice or even submit your word to another person, we need to be willing to acknowledge that we might not have it all together. We might not have all the answers. Sometimes my own pride gets in the way. God, we just surrender our pride to you this morning. We thank you for your voice that speaks life and truth above all things. You know, in this atmosphere, I'm aware that there might be people and you don't know God. Well, the Bible says he knows you. He knows your hairs on your head. He knows your thoughts before you think them. And he invites us to know him. And I just wonder, before we close this service this morning, is there anybody here that would say, James, I don't know Jesus, but I want to? Maybe you've experienced religion. Maybe you've experienced tradition or rituals. That's cool. Those things can help us in our faith, but they do not replace knowing Jesus as our Savior, as our forgiver of our sins, and as the Lord of our life. And that's the big thing that unites us here together at Church Unlimited, is we've all been forgiven by Jesus. Jesus has changed my life because he forgave me and he's showing me a new way to live. And I wonder if there's people here this morning that would say, James, I need Jesus to forgive me. I need Jesus to change my life. If that's you, I want to pray with you right here and right now. And I believe that the moment we express faith through prayer, he hears us and he'll meet you. And so just in this moment of reflection, is there someone that would say, James, I know that I don't know Jesus, and I need to pray and invite his forgiving grace into my life? If that's you, would you give me a little wave? I'll see your hand, and then you can put it back down. I don't want to embarrass you this morning, but I would love to provide you the opportunity. Come on, mate, I see your hand. That's great. Just one person saying, yes, I need to pray. I need to invite Jesus into my life. I need to experience his forgiveness. Is there one more? All right, let's pray. We're going to pray together, mate. I'm going to pray a little bit and invite you to repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. You proved it when you went to the cross and died for my sins. Jesus, forgive me. Speak to me. Come alive in me. Help me to know you as you know me. Amen. Lord, for this young man and anybody else who prayed this prayer, I thank you, God, right now that you see them, you know them, and you're coming and filling him with your presence. I break off every shame. I break off every condemnation. I say, you are forgiven, mate. Your past is done. It's dealt with. Jesus is giving you a new life. And I just speak right now your grace over every person here as we go today. We don't go from our religious meeting. We don't go from your presence. We go with you as your Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and speaks to us about what you're doing in us and through us. God, we want to do things your way. We want to follow your lead, your voice. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray that you and your family are richly blessed by the love and grace of Jesus. If you're ever in the area, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship.